بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. In the name of Allah, the Most Merciful, the One who bestows mercy, indeed all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of the worlds, and may peace and blessings be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, upon his family, companions, and all those who follow the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam until Yawm al-Qiyamah. In the previous lesson, we began speaking about the battles and the expeditions which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam fought in, or they occurred during his life. And the author, rahimahullah, he differentiated between the ghazwa and between the bu'uth or the siraya. And we said that ghazwa are those battles, or is that battle which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he himself either commanded or he physically fought in. And as for the bu'uth and the siraya, then they are divisions and expeditions which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam sent out whilst he remained in Medina. So there were 25 or 27 ghazawat, battles which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam went with the army, and he commanded the army. And as for the siraya, the divisions which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam sent out, then they were over 50 in number. Some were small and some were larger. And as for the battles which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam physically fought in himself, they were 9. And they are the major battles of Islam: Badr, Uhud, Khandaq, Bani Qurayza, Bani Mustaliq, Khaybar, Fathu Makkah, Hunain, and At-Ta'if. And they have been mentioned in the Quran. So we mentioned that Allah spoke about the battle of Badr in Surah Ali Imran and Al-Anfal. And He spoke about the battle of Uhud in Surah Ali Imran. And He spoke about the battle of Khandaq in Surah At-Tawbah and Surah Al-Ahzab. And also He spoke about the battle of Khaybar in Surah Al-Hashr. And He spoke about Fathu Makkah, إِذَا جَاءَ نَصُّ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ, the conquest of Makkah. And also Tabuk. Some ayat of Surah Tawbah relate to it. In the previous lesson, we went through the battle of Badr. And we said that in reality, there were three battles of Badr: Al-Badr Al-Sughra, and Badr Al-Mu'id, and Al-Badr Al-Kubra. The minor battle of Badr, which was a small skirmish when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he chased away somebody who was attacking Medina. And then there was Badr al-Maw'id, the promised battle of Badr, which never took place. And that was Abu Sufyan. A year after the battle of Uhud, he returned to fight the Muslims in Badr. Because when the Kuffar tasted some defeat in Uhud, and also the Muslims tasted some defeat in Uhud, Abu Sufyan promised that on this day next year, I'm going to return to fight the Muslims. And so the Muslim army, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they went to the area of Badr and they waited, and Abu Sufyan, he turned back with the army of Quraysh. So that never occurred. And then the third battle was Badr al-Kubra, the major battle of Badr. And that is the Badr, or the battle of Badr, that we speak about. Also, we went through the battle of Uhud. And Uhud is a name, or is the name of a mountain in Al-Madinah, and that is where the battle took place. And so it is known as the Battle of Uhud. And this was in the third year of the Hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And we mentioned how 3,000 from the Quraysh partook in this battle, whereas there was only 1,000 Muslims. And from those 1,000 Muslims, 300 of the Munafiqun, they turned back. So only 700 Muslims remained. And we went into some of the details of the Battle of Uhud. In this lesson, we come to firstly the Battle of Al-Khandaq. And the meaning of khandaq is a trench or a ditch. And this battle, the battle of khandaq, it is also known with another name, which is the battle of al-ahzab. And the meaning of al-ahzab is the groups and the parties. This battle, it occurred in the fifth year of the hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, 2 years after the battle of Uhud. And this battle, it took place in the north of al-Madinah. And remember, if you look at the map, Mecca is in the south. And the north of Mecca is al-Madinah. So normally, if the Quraysh were going to enter into al-Madinah, they're coming from the south, they would enter into al-Madinah from the south. But instead of entering into Medina from the south, they entered into Medina from the north, meaning they went around al-Madinah, and then from the north they entered into al-Madinah. And this is because of the geography and the geographic makeup of al-Madinah. The Medina is surrounded with the Hira. And Hira is terrain and rocks which are difficult for horses and camels to walk on. And if any of you remember, when you've entered Medina, you'll see on the side of the road black rocks. And maybe these black rocks, they formed from a volcano a long time ago. But they're black, sharp rocks, small and big in size. And for this reason, it was difficult for the army and the horses and the camels to enter into Al-Madina from the south. So whenever they wanted to attack Al-Madina, they'd always have to come from the north. So Khandaq is a place which is on the north side of Al-Madina. And in this battle, obviously Badr had already been fought and the Muslims had gained a decisive victory. Uhud had been fought and there was a victory for the Muslims and there was a small victory for the Quraysh. So now the third battle is Khandaq or Ahzab. And the reason why it is called Ahzab, parties or groups, is because various parties and groups from the Yahud and the different tribes of the Mushrikun, all of them came together to attack the Muslims and to finish the Muslims and to conquer Medina and to do away with the Islamic State which has just formed 4 or 5 years previously. Why did the Battle of Khandaq occur? There was a tribe of Yahud in Al-Madinah, there were three tribes. But one of the tribes of Yahud, their name was Banu Nadir. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he had signed a treaties of peace with the Jewish tribes. So they could live in Al-Madinah, the Muslims and the Yahud, at peace. And the Muslims could get on with calling people to Tawheed and giving da'wah to the people. However, Banu Nadir, this tribe, they invalidated the treaties. They broke the treaty which they had with the Muslims. And that is because they tried to kill or assassinate the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So when they broke the treaty, then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he exiled them from Al-Madinah. And they left Al-Madinah. When they left Al-Madinah, when they left their area, of course now they also wanted revenge. And they were carrying with them a lot of jealousy and spite and hatred of the Muslims. So they then encouraged the various groups and the parties and the tribes from the Yahud and the Mushrikun to come together, unite and have an alliance against the Muslims. So before we speak about the Battle of Khandaq, we have to speak about the Battle of Bani Nudayr. Ghazwat Bani Nadir, the battle of the tribe from the Yahud. And this occurred in the fourth year of the hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So one day the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and a small number of companions, they went towards the tribe Bani Nadir. And they went to them to to ask them to pay a diya, or the blood money of two people who had been killed. And this is one of the terms of the treaty, that if there was blood money to pay, then between the Muslims and the Jews, they would come together and both of them would pay the blood money. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and a few companions, they went towards the area where Bani Nadir used to live. When they went there, this Yahudi tribe, they welcomed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, smiling and happy and welcoming him to their area. And they sat him near one of the gardens or the farms which had been walled. Whilst the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sitting there, some of the Jewish tribe, they started talking to each other, that look, this is the time now, we have an opportunity to kill Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So whilst the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sitting there, and he was leaning against the wall, two or three from this tribe, they climbed the wall, or they climbed the roof, and they took a boulder, a big rock, and they wanted to assassinate the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam by throwing the rock or the boulder off the roof or off the wall and onto the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They were about to do this, and then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sensed that they are trying something. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he came off the wall where he was sitting, or behind the wall, and he fled away to Al-Madinah. And then the Sahaba who were with him, they also followed him. So now Banu Nudayr, they had broken the treaty, because it was a treaty of peace, and they tried to kill the rule of the Muslims, i.e. the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam returned to Al-Madinah, where the Muslims used to live, he sent a messenger to the tribe, and he said to them, because you have broken the treaty, you have 10 days. And within these 10 days, you need to leave the area which you are living. You are exiled from the area, but you have 10 days as a passage of safety. Nobody's going to be hurt. Nobody's going to be killed. You, the men, the women, the children, go take your wealth with you and leave this area, because you have broken the treaty of peace. So Banu Nadir, they started preparing themselves to leave the area. Whilst they were leaving the area and preparing themselves, the head of the Munafiqun in Al-Madinah, Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Sulul, and he was the head of the Munafiqun, he sent a messenger secretly to Banu Nadir. And he said to them that, stay there, I'll help you, and I've got people with me. So when the Muslims come to fight you, you can attack them from the front, and we will attack them from the behind, so stay in your places. So he sent them a letter or a messenger, ithbatu, be firm, watamna'u, and don't leave, fa'inna lan nuslimakum, because we will not allow you to be surrendered. وَإِن قُوتِلْتُمْ قَاتَلْنَا, and if you have to fight, we will. If you are fought, we will also fight. وَإِن أُخْرِجْتُمْ خَرَجْنَا مَعَكُمْ, and if you are exiled from your lands, then we will also leave with you. وَلَا تَخْرُجُوا, and do not leave your lands. فَإِنَّ مَعِي مِنَ الْعَرَبِ, because I have with me Arabs. وَمِمَّنْ ضَوَى إِلَىٰ قَوْمِي أَلْفَيْنِ, and I have 2,000 people who have joined my tribe or who are with me. فَأَقِيمُوا, so stay there. And when the Muslims come, you fight them from the front and we will fight them from behind. So when the Yahudi tribe, when they got this message, now they gained a bit of confidence and courage. So they then sent a messenger to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And they said, "Inna lan nabraha darana," that we are not going to leave our area, our houses. Fasna' ya Muhammad ma bada lak, so do whatever you want, O Muhammad, whatever you want to do, go for it. We're going to stay where we are. So when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Muslims, when they heard this, فَكَبَّرَ الرَّسُولُ وَكَبَّرَ الْمُسْلِمُونَ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made a takbir, and the Muslims made a takbir, and they said, حَارَبَتْ يَهُود, that the Yahud, they want to fight. And this which occurred between the Munafiqun and between the Jewish tribe, Allah mentioned this story in Surah Al-Hashr, in the 28th juz of the Quran. Allah said, أَلَمْ تَرَ إِلَى الَّذِينَ نَافَقُوا. Did you not see those who are hypocrites, the Munafiqun? يَقُولُونَ لِإِخْوَانِهِمُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ. They say to their brothers who have disbelieved from Ahl al-Kitab, i.e. the Yahud, لَإِنْ أُخْرِجْتُمْ لَنَخْرُجَنَّ مَعَكُمْ. If you are exiled, we will leave with you. وَلَا نُطِيعُ فِيكُمْ أَحَدًا أَبَدًا. And we will not accept anybody who is against you. وَإِنْ قُوتِلْتُمْ لَنَنْصُرَنَّكُمْ. And if you are fought, then we will aid and support you. And then Allah said, وَاللَّهُ يَشْهَدُ إِنَّهُمْ لَكَاذِبُونَ. And Allah bears witness that these people, they are liars. لَإِنْ أُخْرِجُوا لَا يَخْرُجُونَ مَعَهُمْ. If they, Ahlul Kitab, are exiled, the Munafiqun will not leave with them. وَلَإِنْ قُوتِلُوا لَا يَنْصُرُونَهُمْ. And if they, the Yahud, if they are fought against, the Munafiqun will not support them. وَلَإِنْ نَصَرُوهُمْ. And even if they did come to support them, لَيُوَلُّنَّ الْأَدْبَارَ ثُمَّ لَا يُنصَرُونَ. They will eventually flee away, and they will show them their backs. لَأَنْتُمْ أَشَدُّ رَهْبَةً فِي صُدُورِهِمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ. And then Allah said that these munafiqun, they fear you, O believers, more than they fear Allah. They should be scared of Allah before they are scared of the Muslims. But instead, they show Islam on the outside because they are scared of the Muslims, but they hide kufr inside them because they don't fear Allah subhanahu. He said, ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُمْ قَوْمٌ لَا يَفْقَهُونَ. And this is because they are a group of people who do not understand. لَا يُقَاتِلُونَكُمْ جَمِيعًا إِلَّا فِي قُرًى مُحَصَّنًا أَوْ مِنْ وَرَاءِ جُدُرٍ. Allah said regarding them that the munafiqun, they are so cowardly, that they will not fight you in the open, except that they will fight you from forts which are fortified or behind the walls. بَأْسُهُمْ بَيْنَهُمْ شَدِيدٌ. And they themselves between each other, they have problems between each other. تَحْسَبُهُمْ جَمِيعًا وَقُلُوبُهُمْ شَتَّى. You see them as being united, but in reality their hearts are differing with each other, because one party is munafiq and the other party is Yahud and Nasara. ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُمْ قَوْمٌ لَا يَعْقِلُونَ. And this is because they are a group of people who do not understand. كَمَثَلِ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ قَرِيبًا ذَاقُوا وَبَالَ أَمْرِهِمْ وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. Take the example of those people before you, how they were defeated, i.e. the Battle of Badr, how the Mushrikun and the Kufar, they were defeated. كَمَثَلِ الشَّيْطَانِ إِذْ قَالَ لِلْإِنسَانِ كفر. And then Allah compared the munafiqun to shaitan. That the munafiqun, they are people who are cowardly. They are cowards. Just like shaitan. How? Shaitan says to a person, ukfur, that disbelieve. Disbelieve in Allah. فَلَمَّا كَفَرَ. And then when a person disbelieves in Allah, قَالَ إِنِّي بَرِيءٌ مِنْكَ. Then shaitan says to the person, I am free from you. I have nothing to do with you. إِنِّي أَخَافُ اللَّهَ رَبَّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Because I fear Allah, who is the Lord of the worlds. فَكَانَ عَاقِبَتَهُمَا أَنَّهُمَا فِي النَّارِ خَالِدَيْنِ فِيهَا. And then, the end abode of both of them is that both of them are in the fire. Shaytan will come on يوم القيامة, and he will free himself from the kuffar. Even though he enticed the kuffar to disbelieve, but on يوم القيامة, because he knows Allah is real, he knows the punishment of Allah is real. So on يوم القيامة, he will say, look, these kuffar have nothing to do with me. I'm free from them. But Allah punishes both of them. So the point is, the munafiqun, Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Sulul, he promised Banu Nadir that he would help them and support them. And so now the Yahud, they have a little bit of courage. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Muslim army, they went to the residence of Banu Nadir, and they surrounded the area for 15 nights. And Banu Nadir, they entered into their houses and into their area, and they wouldn't let anybody enter. And they would shoot arrows and throw rocks at the Muslim army. After 15 days, Banu Nadir, they realized that the Munafiqun are not coming. And how Allah mentioned in the Quran, in those ayat, this is exactly what happened. That when they were stuck, then Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul, he turned back and he didn't help Banu Nadir. So now the Yahud, they have realized that there's no escape for them. Sooner or later, the Muslims are going to enter. So then they submitted themselves and surrendered to the Muslim army. However, they sought permission from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that give us a time and a safe passage. Meaning give us a few days so we can leave the area. You want us to leave the area. You don't want to fight us. We don't want to fight you. We just want to leave the area peacefully. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he allowed them. And he said to them, "Ukhruju minha," leave your areas, "walakum dima'ukum," and your blood is going to be protected, "wama hamalat al-ibl," and whatever the camels can carry, you can take with you. So the Yahud, they were allowed to take whatever they want from their possession, as long as they could carry it and the camels could carry. And the only thing which they weren't allowed to take were their shields and their weaponry in case they attack the Muslims. And it is mentioned that they took with them gold and silver and wealth and clothing. In fact, they carried their possessions on 600 camels. 600 camels, they carried their possession, and the Muslims allowed them. These Yahud from this tribe Banu Nadir, where did they go? Many of them went to Khaybar, which is the north of Al-Madinah. And this is an important point. Many of them went to Khaybar. And also many of them, they went towards Sham. And a small number, two men or so, they accepted Islam. So this was the battle of Banu Nadir. And notice a few things from this battle. First of all, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he had a peace treaty with the Yahud. Because he wanted to live in peace and he wanted to give da'wah to Tawheed. This is the job of the Muslim. Not that necessarily everybody is fought against. Secondly, the Muslims, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they never started a war. In fact, the Prophet went to them to speak to them. It was the Yahud who tried to assassinate the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Even though they tried to assassinate the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, first the Prophet gave them passage that you have 10 days. And because you have broken the peace treaty, we want you to leave your areas and leave Al-Madinah. And they were about to leave until they gained some confidence. Even after that, even then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave them a few more days. Even after they had been surrounded and they had surrendered. And he allowed 600 camels full of possessions to leave Al-Madinah peacefully. And the Yahud, they left Medina peacefully. This shows you some of the rulings of jihad. And this jihad isn't just killing anybody and everybody, and anybody who is a kafir is going to be an enemy to the Muslims that has to be fought against. No, there are rules and there are treaties with the kuffar that can be had. So this was the battle of Banu Nadir. Now when Banu Nadir left, when they left, of course, they weren't happy leaving. They carried with them revenge and a feeling of hatred. And they wanted to come back and kill the Muslims, even though the Prophet allowed them to leave with all of their wealth and their possessions. So they then started to speak to other tribes from the Kuffar and trying to encourage them and excite them to fight against the Muslims. So then the tribes of the Arabs and also the Yahud, all of them came together. So the Quraysh, They had an alliance with Banu Kanana and Qabilat Ghatfan, and also Banu Murra and Asja' and Banu Asad and Banu Sulaym. They came together. On top of them, the Yahud from Banu Qurayza and the Yahud from Banu Nadir, who are now already left. All of these came together and they formed an alliance. And this is why it is called Ghazwat al-Ahzab, the battle of the parties or the groups or those who came together to fight the Muslims. So how many non-Muslim soldiers or fighters were there? 10,000. 10,000 kuffar soldiers came together. Where the Muslims, there were only 3,000. And these 10,000, they were now going to come to wipe away Medina. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used to send spies to go out to the outskirts of Medina and check if there's any army coming, is there any news, do they know any people that they can listen to and garner some information. So the Muslims realized that the kuffar, 10,000 of them have come together and they're going to all come to attack Al-Madinah from the north. So now the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he sought an opinion from the various sahaba, from the older, more senior sahaba, what shall we do? If we go out to fight, there's 10,000 of them, there's only 3,000 Muslims. If we stay in Al-Madinah, they're going to enter into Al-Madinah. Either way, it's a difficult situation. And so Salman al-Farsi radiallahu anhu, he gave an option to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He said, Ya Rasulullah, O Messenger of Allah, Inna idha kunna bi ardi Faris, that us, the Persians, when we are in the land of the Persians, watukhawwifuna al-khayl, and the horses, the cavalry is coming, and we're scared and they are striking fear into us, khandaqna alayhi, then we dig a ditch or a trench all around the area which they are attempting to conquer. And so these horses and this army, it isn't able to pass over the trench. فَهَلَّكَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ أَن تَخَنْدَقْ. So is it possible for you, O Messenger of Allah, that you also dig a ditch or a trench around Al-Madinah? And this idea was new to the Prophet and new to the Arabs. The Arabs didn't have this idea, this strategy of war before. When the Muhajirun and the Ansar and the Prophet and the major, older, senior Sahaba, when they heard of this, all of them were amazed by this idea. Remember, Salman al-Farsi, he's a Persian. So he isn't from the Arabs, he isn't from the people of Makkah, he isn't from the people of Medina, he isn't from the Quraysh, he's not from the Muhajirun, he's not from the Ansar. So the Muhajirun, they said, Salmanu minna. That Salman, he's from us. We're going to take him. We'll adopt him. And the Ansar, they said, Bal Salmanu minna. Rather, Salman is from us. We're going to take him. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Salmanu minna ahlul bayt. That Salman is from me and he's from my household. And this idea of a trench to defend your homeland, this wasn't something which was known to the Arabs. It had never before occurred in the history of the Arabs. And therefore, the first person in the history of the Arabs and the Muslims to ever dig a trench was the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And for this reason, when the Quraysh came, and the Mushrikun came, and the Arabs came, and the Yahud came, when they saw a trench, even they were shocked, because all of their numbers and their horses and their camels and everything that they've taken, all of it is useless. So even they were shocked at what to do. When we're talking about a trench, we're not talking about a small hole. Rather, the Prophet and his companions, they had to work day and night to dig a trench which the horses and the camels and people were not going to be able to cross. And it was difficult for them. And whilst they were doing this, they used to sing poetry. And from the poetry which they used to sing is the famous poetry, لَوْلَ اللَّهِ مَهْتَدَيْنَا وَلَا تَصَدَّقْنَا وَلَا صَلَّيْنَا. that had it not been for Allah, we would not have been guided. Had it not been for Allah, we would not have believed. And we would not have prayed. فَأَنزِلَنَّ السَّكِينَةَ عَلَيْنَا O Allah, send down calm and tranquility upon us. وَثَبِّتِ الْأَقْدَامِ إِلَّقَيْنَا And make our feet firm if we meet the enemy. إِنَّ الْقَوْمَ قَدْ بَغَوْا عَلَيْنَا Verily the people, they have oppressed us. وَإِنْ أَرَادُوا فِتْنَةً أَبَيْنَا And if they want to fight us or kill us, we refuse. Meaning, they want to fight, we're not going to fight. We're going to defend. Because we're going to build the trench. And they would say, نَحْنُ الَّذِي بَايَعُوا مُحَمَّدًا We are the ones who have given the pledge to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. عَلَى الْإِسْلَامِ مَا بَقِيْنَا أَبَدًا The pledge upon Islam as long as we remain alive. And when they would say these lines of poetry, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he would say, اللهم لا خير إلا خير الآخرة. Oh Allah, there is no goodness, there is no life except for the life of the Akhirah. فَغْفِرْ لِلْأَنصَارِ وَالْمُهَاجِرَةِ So forgive the Ansar and the Muhajirun. When the Prophet and the companions, when they were digging the trench, as I mentioned, it wasn't something which is easy. Don't think it was a small hole that they were digging. It was in the winter, so it was severely cold. Secondly, there was a cold, severe wind which was making many of them ill. And also their financial situation, it was difficult. Many of them were hungry, many of them were thirsty, many of them were tired, many of them were becoming poor. Remember, just like you have families, wives, children, work to go to, they also had wives and children and work to go to. They had farms that needed to be tended to, they had lands, they had gardens, they had houses that needed to be looked after. They also had these needs that we have. On top of this, the fear that any day 10,000 from amongst the kuffar could attack us at any time. And then on top of that, they were digging the trench with their own hands. And they would carry the rocks and the soil and the sand on their back. And then on top of this, the Ansar, a group of them would always guard the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in case there is a surprise attack. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whilst the Muslims were digging the trench, he placed 10 companions for each 40 dhira' which were being dug. And 40 dhira' is 40 arm lengths. Or cubit arms. 40 arm lengths, there are 10 companions. So imagine how much they had to dig. Only 40 arm lengths, yet it takes 10 men to dig. And then 10 more in the next 40. And it went on. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he himself, he would come down into the trench. And he would also dig and carry and pass the rocks with his own two blessed hands. The Sahaba at that time, they became so hungry and so desperate that they used to tie a stone around their stomach to try to save themselves from hunger. Some pressure on the stomach as if it is still full. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he also shared the hunger which the companions were going through and they were facing. We shouldn't think that the Prophet ﷺ was eating and he was sitting in his tent whilst the Sahaba were hungry. No. In fact, Abu Talha radiallahu an, he said, Shakawna ila Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam al-ju' that we came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam complaining about the hunger which we were facing. Farafa'na an butunina an hajar. So we raised our shirts and we showed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam the stone which we are tied to our stomach. Abu Talha said, فَرَفَعَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ sallallahu alaihi wasallam عَنْ بَطْنِهِ حَجْرَيْنِ And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he raised his shirt and there were two stones which were tied to his stomach. And as I mentioned, the Sahaba, they had needs just like we do. They had a wife, family, children, work, houses, things that needed to be done. So they would work with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then they would seek permission from him so they could go and they could take care of whatever they need to do with their family. And then they would come back. And regarding this group of Sahaba, Allah revealed the ayah in Surah Al-Ahzab. He said, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. Verily the believers, they are those who have iman in Allah and His Messenger. وَإِذَا كَانُوا مَعَهُ عَلَىٰ أَمْرٍ جَامِعٍ. And when they are with Him, taking care of a major matter, لَمْ يَذْهَبُوا حَتَّى يَسْتَأْذَنُوهُ. They do not leave until they have sought permission from Him. And these were those Sahaba who used to seek permission from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Are we okay to leave and take care of our needs? إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَأْذِنُونَكَ. O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, those believers who come to you and they seek permission from you, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. These are the ones, those are the ones who have iman in Allah and His Messenger. فَإِذَا And if they ista'dhanuka, if they seek permission from you, لِبَعْضِ شَأْنِهِمْ, to take care of some of their needs, فَأْذَنْ لِمَنْ شِئْتَ مِنْهُمْ, then give permission to whoever you will from them. وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ, and seek permission and seek forgiveness for them. إِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ, and Allah is the oft forgiving and the most merciful. So now the trench had been dug, and 10,000 from amongst the kuffar, all the different tribes, they came towards Al-Madinah. And when they came, they were astonished about this new strategy or this new tactic. And they realized that their horses and their camels and their weaponry and their numbers, it was useless in front of this trench. So they stayed, they surrounded Al-Madinah for 3 weeks. And you can imagine for 3 weeks, the Muslims are becoming hungry and hungry because no food is entering into Al-Madinah. No water is entering into Al-Madinah. And it's cold and it's winter. So they're becoming more hungry and more severe. And when the hunger became severe, the companions, they described their situation. They said that it was as if our hearts had reached our throats. That's it. We can't last another day. Our heart has already reached our throat. And they came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They said, Ya Rasulullah, hal min shay'in naquluhu? They said, Oh Messenger of Allah, is there something which we can say? Meaning, is there any dua which we can make? فَقَدْ بَلَغَتِ الْقُلُوبِ الْحَنَاجِرِ. Because the hearts have reached the throat. There's nothing more we can bear. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he taught those companions the dua, اللَّهُمَّ اسْتَرْ عَوْرَاتَنَا وَآمِنْ رَوْعَاتَنَا. O Allah, conceal our private affairs, conceal our sins, and allay our fears. Meaning, keep us safe from our fears. And also the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he stood and he made the dua, اللَّهُمَّ مُنْزِلَ الْكِتَابِ. O Allah, the one who has revealed the book. سَرِيعَ الْحِزَابِ, the one who is quick to bring the accountability. أَهْزِمَ الْأَحْزَابِ, destroy the groups and the parties. اللَّهُمَّ أَهْزَمْهُمْ وَزَلْزِلْهُمْ. O Allah, destroy them. O Allah, shake the earth which is beneath them. And as the companions and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made these supplications and the hearts had reached their throats, Allah sent a severe cold wind upon the kuffar. And because of the severity of the wind, it was too much for them and they left. And Allah revealed the ayah, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O people of iman, udhkuru ni'matallahi alaykum, remember the blessing of Allah upon you. Idh ja'atkum junud, when the soldiers came to you. Fa'arsalna alayhim riha, so we sent a wind upon them. Wa junuda lam tarawha, and we sent an army upon them and you did not see this army. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ بَصِيرٌ, and Allah was looking and seeing what you were doing. I mean, that dua which you were making and the difficulty which you were going through, Allah knew of this difficulty. And the kuffar and all the different parties, all of them, they retreated and they went back. When this happened, the third major battle of Islam, Now Islam took another strength, that all the parties had come together to defeat the Muslims and they were not able to do so. So now the Kuffar, all of the tribes, all of them lost heart. In Jazirat al-Arab, in the Arabian Peninsula, they lost heart, because they had united and they could not do anything. So now the Muslims had their strength and they were fearful. In this battle, and we'll finish with this one, there are a number of benefits. The first benefit is that when the Muslims saw and they heard of 10,000 kuffar from all the tribes over the Arabian Peninsula and they were coming to wipe away Al-Madinah, how did the Muslims react? And this is a lesson for all of us whenever we're going through any type of difficulty, and it's a severe difficulty. And Allah mentions in Surah Al-Ahzab what the companions said when they saw the 10,000 kuffar soldiers, the enemy. Allah said, وَلَمَّا رَأَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الْأَحْزَابِ, that when the believers, when they saw the Ahzab, قَالُوا هَذَا مَا وَعَدَنَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ, this is what Allah and His Messenger have promised us. وَصَدَقَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ, and Allah and His Messenger, they were truthful. وَمَا زَادَهُمْ إِلَّا إِيمَانًا وَتَسْلِيمًا, and this only increased them in their iman and in their submission in front of Allah subhanahu. So when the believers, when the sahaba, when they saw all the Arabs and all the tribes coming to them, they didn't lose iman. When the situation became difficult and severe and their hearts reached the throat, they didn't lose hope in Allah. They said, rather, this is the promise of Allah and His Messenger. And Allah and His Messenger, they are truthful in their promises. And their iman increased when they faced the difficulty. Their iman did not decrease. When they said that Allah and His Messenger, this is what they have promises, which promise were they talking about? And the ulama mentioned that when the sahaba said, this is what Allah and His Messenger have promised us, they were talking about the ayah in Surah Al-Baqarah, in which Allah said to the believers at that time, أَمْ حَسِبْتُمْ أَن تَدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةِ, do you think that you will enter into Jannah? وَلَمَّا يَأْتِكُمْ مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ خَلُوا مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ, and the difficulties and the severity of those who came before you, and they were faced with it, that this difficulty will not come to you? Do you think you will enter into Jannah without facing any difficulty? Like those people who came before you, they faced so much difficulty, and they entered into Jannah because they were patient. Do you think that you're going to enter into Jannah without facing any difficulty? Allah said, مَسَّتْهُمُ الْبَأْسَى, that those who came before you from the believers, they suffered illness and difficulty and calamities, وَالضَّرَّى, and poverty, وَزُلْزِلُوا, and they were shaken, حَتَّى يَقُولَ الرَّسُولُ, until even the messenger would say, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَعَهُ, and those people who believed in the messages, until they would say, مَتَى نَصْرُ اللَّهِ, when is the victory of Allah going to come? And then Allah said, أَلَا إِنَّ نَصْرَ اللَّهِ قَرِيبٌ, verily the victory of Allah, it is close. So when the companions, when they saw this difficulty, then they remembered this ayah, that Allah has mentioned, we will not enter into Jannah until we face a similar difficulty. Like those who came before us from the prophets and the messengers, and they faced everything. They were also killed and they were fought and they became ill and they were diseased and everything which came to them. We will not enter into Jannah until Allah brings this type of difficulty against us. So they remembered this promise at this time. They said, when they saw the difficulties, they said, this is the difficulty which Allah was talking about. This is the promise which Allah promised us, that to enter into Jannah, you have to go through this difficulty and this struggle. So they were patient. In fact, more than this, وَمَا زَادَهُمْ إِلَّا إِيمَانًا وَتَسْلِيمًا, not only were they patient, but in fact their iman increased, and their strength increased, and their certainty and the yaqeen in Allah increased. And also from the benefits of this battle is how the Prophet ﷺ, even though he was a prophet, he sought advice from the companions and different strategies and what we can do, because this was a matter of the dunya. So it wasn't that revelation came to him, rather it was a matter of the dunya, and he sought the opinions of the people. So we also, even if a person attains a great amount of knowledge or experience, still seeking the consultation from the people. Also, and this is an important point, and we finish with this, notice whose opinion did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam accept. There were major sahaba, there were major sahaba from the Quraysh, there were major sahaba from the Aus and the Khazraj and these great tribes. Yet the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he accepted the opinion of Salman al-Farsi. And Salman al-Farsi, not from the rich people, not from the master of the tribes, not from the Quraysh or from the Arabs, rather a Persian. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he accepted the opinion of the one who was right. And unfortunately, we have a culture amongst us nowadays that the opinion isn't accepted based on merit. Rather, it's based on who said it. So if the right person said it, whether he's from your family or your tribe, or he's somebody that you know, or he's got long-term friendship with you, or maybe because he's rich, or he's the head of the village, we're going to take his opinion. Or he's going to get the job. Or he's going to get the position. Whereas the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he taught that the one who is skilled or is qualified or the one who is right, his opinion is accepted. And he is the one who gets the job, i.e. based on merit and not on friendship. And this is something which many of the Muslim countries have been afflicted with. Ala kulli hal hadha, wallahu a'lam wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina wa sallam. In next lesson, we're going to go through the Battle of Khaybar and Fathu Makkah and Hunain and also Ta'if, wa jazakumullahu khair.